Great to be with you here on RSN's Race Day. It is time for the Melbourne Form Panel as we take a look at Cox Plate Day and the 100th running, of course, of the WS Cox Plate. Saturday, the 24th of October. It's been some build up to this day, and let's welcome in the team. Dean Lester, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Gareth.
It's a day we won't forget, a unique day. Grand final tonight in the AFL, and then, of course, the running of our great race, the Cox Plate.
Phenomenal day, isn't it? We had a great night of racing last night, just to whet the appetite, and then into a magnificent Cox Plate Day, and then, as you said, an AFL Grand Final.
You've done a lot of hours studying the form for Cox Plate Day. You wake up this morning, Dino, it's a soft five, the rails in the true. Is it how you thought it would play out today so far with the weather?
Yeah. I was hoping probably for about that. Didn't want it to be any worse, but that was about where we'd done the form for. So, it looks looking okay.
Yeah, and the track should play pretty well, you would imagine. They might get off the fence, as Marty pointed out, as the meeting goes on, but he sounded pretty happy that he's got away with what he's been able to get away with the weather over the last 12 hours.
You know, with the times they ran last night, I don't think it took a lot of a pounding last night. They were running across the track, not into it.
Mm. I could have defeated Usain Bolt's track record there last night. Gator, as I head to you, good morning.
No, I've seen you run. I think it was pretty safe in the short term, at least, yeah.
Great day's racing, mate. What are you looking forward to most this afternoon? Obviously, the Cox Plate, but there's so many different form lines once again, and it's great to have that international flavour for this year's great race, because a couple of months ago we thought that might not happen.
No, that's right. So, it certainly adds that another as a dimension, doesn't it? And look, I'm on record as saying I'm all for it. And I think it makes our race, you know, the world-class event that it should be.
Good morning to you, Warren Huntley.
Good morning, Gareth.
Looking forward to today. Where would you rate Cox Plate Day on the Australian racing calendar?
Oh, it's right up there, Gareth. Yeah. I suppose now that we've got the night meeting leading into Cox Plate Day, it's diluted the quality to some extent and spread it over two meetings. But fortunately, the rain didn't arrive during last night's meeting, so we haven't had a track that's been significantly chopped up. As Dino said, they ran over the track yesterday and last night rather than getting into it. So there's still some great highlights throughout the day, and I understand the reasons for spreading the meeting out, but obviously Cox Plate Day in years gone by was just a highlight race after race, whereas, you know, when you're running it over two meetings, it just spreads the quality a little bit.
And Nicholas Quinn, good morning to you. Are the punters punting with confidence for this afternoon's meeting?
Yeah, the punting has been very strong, and hopefully favourite punters off to a good start with you mentioning your sporting ability there in the opener. So that's the first winning favourite home today, a trend that hopefully can continue.
Okay, let's have a look at this wonderful card at Moonee Valley, and we'll kick off with the first race over the dash, the 955 metres. And Quinny, you can scratch the 5, Our Gladiator, the 6, Tony Nicone, the 7, Free of Debt, the 8, Our Luca, and the 9, Condos Express.
And we've got a very short price favourite to start the program today. Number 2, Ancestry, dominates the market at just $1.30. We've got Jungle Edge, $3.90. Then Centurion, $14. Holbein, $19. Gibbon, $41. About 70% of the money has been for Ancestry, and about 28% of the money has been for Jungle Edge. They dominate the betting, and hopefully one of the two can start the day on the right foot for favourite backers.
And it's a nice and early start for the meeting at Moonee Valley. At 11:40 is the first race, Dino, is Ancestry. I know that we had Philip Stokes on yesterday on RSN Central, and he's really confident with this galloper winning once again this preparation.
It looks as though it's a bit of a gift for him, really. He's in great form. He probably didn't need much help anyway for this sort of grade, but he should get it, and he should win again. He was tremendous in the Apache Cat, and first up also, I think he'll win again. I've put Jungle Edge for second. He's down in grade. Holbein ran fifth in this race last year. He can probably get into the placings, and the Centurion back with his original trainer, Barry Fox, maybe next best. But no, I think it's a rather short start to the day, but he should be winning Ancestry 2, 1, 3 and 4.
Gator, can Jungle Edge, is he any chance of defeating the short price favourite?
Oh, if it got into the heavy, maybe, but it's living proof that this dual 9.55 thing isn't working, isn't it? Got a field of two here. Should be awesome. Some Ancestry is a good horse, though. He's very fast. He's on top. Jungle Edge, Centurion, Holbein. We'll grab a coffee, I think. 2-1, 4-3.
All right, then. Do you share Gator's enthusiasm for the opening race on Cox Plate Day, Warren?
Well, I've got a good mate that's involved in the ownership of Ancestry.
Okay.
Good luck to John Trasise, who played a bit of footy with Carlton. So a big day for John with Cox Plate into an AFL Grand Final. And I'll be cheering for Ancestry, but not backing him at the price. So I'm going to go with Ancestry to win again, and certainly early in this program. I don't think it'll be a disadvantage to be scooting along near the inside, which he'll do. Jungle Edge has got the quality down in grade, and handling the rain during the night would be a positive, as Mick Bell outlined to you, Gareth. I thought the Centurion back with Barry Fox could run well. Haven't seen a trial or a jump out, but he's effective, fresh. And 10 Gibbon, the small field, he mightn't be standing them up too much start, and he'll be strong late. 2-1, 4-10.
So in the first race, Dean Lester keen on Ancestry, the 2 from the 1, 3 and 4. Warren's with the 2 from the 1, 4 and 10. And of course, Gator also with the $1.30 favourite Ancestry, the 2 to defeat the 1, 4 and 3. The 2-year-old race is the second race on the program over the 1,000 metres. Hardware Lane, you can scratch the 4. And also down the bottom, Dosh, the 17 comes out here, Quinny. Geez, the market's all important here with a host of debutants.
Yes, and there's been money for 3 runners in this race so far. Number 14, Sneaky 5, has been the best back, $5 into $4.60. There's been support for number 15, Tempest Charm, who's been 7 into 6. And number 5, Predetermined, has been popular, 7 into 6.50. So if you're following the early money, there's a 3 that have attracted support in the last 48 hours. We've got Sneaky 5 now, a $4.60 market leader. Son of Mercury, a $6 second elect. Tempest Charm, 6. Predetermined, 6.50. Gozzettino, 11. Riverviews, 14. The Art of Flying, 14. At big odds, there's been a little bit of support for a couple of runners, including number 16, He's Exceptional, who's been 31 into 26. But good betting race with Sneaky 5, the punter's pick.
And Kira Ma really couldn't split Sneaky 5 and also Son of Mercury out of his 4 runners. And Tom Dabernick leant towards the filly Mortal Witness from Lindsay Park in this 2-year-old event here, Gator.
Yeah, look, Sneaky 5 and Son of Mercury jumped out together, so that's helpful. Son of Mercury got the upper hand, but was ridden. Sneaky 5 wasn't. Predetermined kept closing in the heat with Mortal Witness. Wasn't asked for much. I thought it was really nice work. And Tempest Charm came clear to win a, you know, it was a neat jump out win mid-October as well. So a bit to learn here, especially given the rain affected track. But 14-7, 5-15 for the record.
So 14-7, 5-15 there for Gator. Warren, what are you thinking here?
Well, obviously we've got a lot to learn here, Gareth, but we've come a bit of a way. At least we're able to get vision of some sort, jump outs and the like of the horses to at least get an idea. Gee, I love the jump out of number 15, Tempest Charm. Didn't look like she flew the gates, but she mustered really nicely and travelled strongly. Robbie Griffiths has got a handle of having horses ready to go at this meeting. And look, I'm thinking that she's there ready to run well. Son of Mercury and Sneaky 5 through that same jump out the stable, mate. So I thought they both looked very professional. And Kieran Maher's got a good handle on this race also and got a good way of grading a big team of young horses to know who's ready to go and where to place them. I'll put 9, The Art of Flying, Kieran, indicating that he's probably still got a bit to learn. He's got to cope. But I thought he made some good ground out wide in a jump out recently, and he does wear the blinkers on debut from a good draw. 15-7, 14-9.
And Dino, in saying that, Kieran Mark couldn't split those two horses I mentioned, but he did say at the end that Son of Mercury is his best chance for the day.
Yeah, I'm with Son of Mercury. I think he'll be strong. That's I like those horses. They've got the speed and show a bit of strength at the end, and I liked his jump out. Lost interest a bit when the second emergency didn't get a run. I was very keen on Dosh, but we'll have to wait for another day. Son of Mercury to beat Tatsuro. I really liked his jump out before his first up run. He got it totally wrong around the home turn at Caulfield. The blinkers go straight on. I think he can run a good race. 14 Sneaky 5 has got talent, and 6 Riverviews. Slapped along in a jump out, but I like the way it responded to riding, and that's what they got to do when they get placed under pressure. So next best, 7, 8, 14 and 6.
Okay, so Dino was Son of Mercury, the 7 over the 8, 14 and 6. Gator likes the 14, Sneaky 5 over the 7, 5 and 15. And Warren Huntley with Tempest Charm, the 15 over the 7, 14 and 9. The Red Anchor Stakes for the three-year-olds is the third race, and Quinny, scratchings are clear.
The favourite, Portland Sky, just a little bit soft here, 270 out to 310, still the market leader at that quote. The best back runner is the second elect, number 7, Bella Nipotina, who's been 460 into 390 and holds about 40% of the early investment. And we've also got Bella Quinta, a $5 chance, Free to Move, 9, Rock the Ring, $11 into 10, Ice Ice Baby, 16 into 10, Mildred, 16, Tarkula Diva, 26, Rhodes Dollar, 34. So we've seen some well-backed favourites in the first couple of races. Portland Sky just pushed out a little bit, but mainly for the support coming for number 7, Bella Nipotina, who is the best back runner. And just a reminder, all races at Randwick and Moonee Valley today run second or third money back in the form of a bonus bet up to $50.
And Tom Dabernick said that Bella Nipotina would be Lindsay Park's best for the day. And as Quinny just pointed out, she's been well supported. Hey, Warren, I'd love to get your speed map here because I would love to know where you think that this favourite Portland Sky will be after the first couple of 100 metres.
Well, at least a pair or so back, Gareth, because there's good speed here through Bella Nipotina, even Mildred and Tarkula Diva capable of rolling forward. So I don't think there's any shortage of reasonable speed. So the inside draw on face value mightn't be great for Portland Sky, but I think Ben Malham will, that speed will get away from him to some extent. But I don't think Portland Sky has to get too far off the speed. The slight query is rain-affected ground for the first time, but he's going well, and you could make excuses for his last two starts. He was held up behind Montesera Velaquenta coming through that race two starts ago, and then he found the line well. And then with Velaquenta also down the straight last start, he was the one back near the inside. I thought under the circumstances on his own, he ran really well. And I think with good speed ahead of him, Ben Malham will have nice horses to follow. And I don't think there'll be an issue with the field spreading to some extent and getting the clear galloping room. I'm hoping so, as I'm with 5 Portland Sky ahead of Velaquenta. They match motors again, and there's not going to be a lot between them. 7 Bellum in the Patina, to me, potentially the best of the on-paces, giving a sight riding the speed. Be interesting to see if they're starting to make some ground off the fence by this stage of the day. And 2, Free to Move, who's a winner here. The form ties in with Rock the Ring that ties a few of these together. But I thought with race fitness, Free to Move was good winning here last start. Next best, 5172.
How do you assess this 3-year-old race, Dino?
Gareth, I find it a really even race, and it'll just come down to who gets the right run here. There's not much between them. I'm going with Free to Move. I think he's a beauty. He's good and tough, and it was a good win last start. Go through his form last time in and Rock the Rings there, beating him in the Elvstrom Classic. Resumes off a couple of jump outs. Looks to be going okay. Portland Sky's there. I wouldn't be surprised if he used the gate a bit more than anticipated. I think he can run well. And Velaquenta, thought he'd let the race unfold here, and if they overdo it up front, he might be the one running on late. I think good chance for him to run 1,200 in this circumstance, and Godolphin have got a terrific record in this race. 2, 3, 5, and 1.
All right, then. Gator, your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think Portland Sky was obviously unlucky 2 runs ago. They just came underneath them all at Flemington, as Ted referenced. I don't think it's ever ideal. Look, some can win, but I don't think it's, ideal. It was a fast race. He beat home Velaquenta comfortably there. Wet's a query, but it's a bit in the pedigree to say it's okay, if that's any help to you. Bella Nipotina, forget the Group 1 missed. Led, beaten by 2 smart fillies last time. Squats at Montesera. Obviously, Montesera brings the Velaquenta form in, so it's easy to tie them together. Rock the Ring resumes. Off the speed, jump out ridden, but went well. Beat a key rival here, Free to Move, before the break. And Gothic Stakes winner in danger was behind Free to Move that day. So I think it's a good line there. Velaquenta next best. 5, 7, 3, 1.
Okay, and so in the third, Dean Lester likes the 2, Free to Move, to defeat the 3, 5, and 1. Warren Huntley's with the 5, Portland Sky, over the 1, 7, and 2. And Gator also with Portland Sky to defeat the 7, 3, and 1. The 3-year-old fillies do battle in the Fillies Classic there over the 1,600 metres. Quinny, and you can scratch the 7, Misconduct.
And this has been quite a competitive betting race. There's been money for a couple of runners at the top of the betting, with Equimanical the best backed at this stage. Now a $2.50 market leader. Thermosphere on the second line of betting at $3.70 has continued to firm after $5 was available on Wednesday. Incredulous Dream, a $6.50 chance out slightly from 6. Yes Baby Yes 9. Then we've got Miss In Between 12. Nothing Fear 18. Queen of Rocks 19. And a little bit of support there for number 10, Lamasa, who's a $23 chance. Overall, good betting race. Equimanical has been popular, but Thermosphere continues to firm.
All right, Dean, I love your speed map here and then your tips.
Gareth, I think the speed here probably is Miss In Between and Yes Baby Yes. Drawn side by side, Mustn't Fear might come across, but it was at a pretty gentle speed last start. But I think they're the speed element of the race. I think if Ecumenical has any luck, she's the one I want to back. She's had a couple of luckless runs. I just hope she hasn't had too hard of runs that she gets to the race she can win, and she's just still not at her peak. But if she is, I think she'll win. Thermosphere ran quite well in the 1,000 guineas, but nowhere near as well as Ecumenical. She drops in grade. I think Miss In Between will give a good sight. She ran well the midweek at Caulfield. The classic winner came through that, and the winner's quite smart. So I think that form's okay. And just a roughie here, Lamasa, went for a run to the inside, ran out of luck at Pakenham. It might be just an improver. It'll be back, but it'll be strong late. I think Ecumenical's the one to beat. 2, 1, 3 and 10.
All right, then, Gator, you're also keen on this favourite.
Yeah, I am. Look, she was just fair, fresh, but then she went to 1,400 second up, never on the track, stuck on really well, then posted deep again in the Group 1 Guineas. Still there, swinging at the 200. It was very good effort. Easily beat Ranting the one time she was on soft ground. So, draw's awkward, but if they're edging off the fence by now, all of a sudden, you know, she might be drawn well. As referenced, clearly superior run to Thermosphere. Now, either she's just better, or Thermosphere struggled on a seven-day backup off a really tough win of a wide run in a manifold. She likes to wear Thermosphere. Big tick there. Incredulous Dream had excuses here at the Valley. She was back and wide. So were a couple that finished closer than her, though. So I was a little... I gave her a chance last time, but I was a little nervous. She finished near Odium in that Mooney Valley race. Then she was able to sit in behind a couple who cut each other up and run by them. She was 6 weeks between runs, so I think she's certainly got a case. And I agree with Dino. La Marta, I think, is the best roughie, best blowout hope. She's got a lot of upside. I think she'll win races. 2-1, 4-10.
And Warrenny, you're also with this South Australian filly Ecumenical here.
I am, Gareth. She just needs to get that little bit of luck from the draw, but the speed that Dino outlined, hopefully there's a spot for Johnny Allen to get into, and making some ground off the fence by this stage of the day shouldn't be against the desired pattern, and she's going so well. Her run in the 1,000 guineas was outstanding. I've got her ahead of Thermosphere, who comes through the same form line as the boys have outlined, but there was more merit in the performance of Ecumenical. As long as she can continue on from that, then she's the one to beat. I thought Incredulous Dream was good. Got that lovely stalking run last week. Obviously had a good week to back up, but ran through the line in the manner of a horse that should appreciate getting up in distance. And I agree with the boys about Lamasa. I know she's a maiden, but when this when you get through the top couple of chances here, most of these horses are just out of maiden grade, and Lamasa's certainly got the ability to get through that grade and beyond. And I thought Ducking and Weaving ran well last start without much luck. 2-1, 4-10.
So the team basically on the same page there for the fourth Fillies Classic at the Valley. Ecumenical, the on-top selection for Dean, 2-1, 3-10. Same for Warren, 2-1, 4-10. And Gator, also with the filly from SA, 2-1, 4-10. Gator's numbers there. Race number 5, looking forward to this contest. You can scratch the 6 for Dahlia. The 8 for Shino also comes out. And Quinny, are they backing a mare that's in form at the moment for Danny O'Brien?
Well, they're potentially backing two mares that are in form at the moment with Danny O'Brien as the trainer, because the two well-backed runners here are Sovereign Award and Parody. We've got Sovereign Award 350 into 320. Hence the market at that quote, and has been a firmer already this morning. But in the days leading up to the race, it was Parody who had been the firmer, $5 into 360. So good betting race. Initially, all the support was there for the second leg Parody, but now maybe they got a little bit too close in the market and there's been a swing back towards Sovereign Award. Between them, about 78% of the investment. So they are clearly the two best back runners here in race number 5 to get the job done. Outside the two fancy runners, there's been a bit of support there for Graceful Glamour, who's a $5 chance. Bombaccini has burned from 650 into 550, was well backed yesterday morning at that 650 quote. Then a bit of a gap. I'm Eloquent 13 and My Pendant 21. Dancer Dance 23. The market's just skipping around a little bit as I speak with I Am Eloquent 15 into 13. But overall, good betting race. The two Danny O'Brien runners, the two best backs with Sovereign Award and Parity, and a little bit of money around for the five, Bonvicini.
All right, Gator, can I get your speed map here for race five and then your tips, please, for this Group 3, affair for the mares?
Graceful Glamour's the logical leader. Sovereign Award, Posse's up, Shroud of Mist, and I'm Eloquent. Look, the speed at around, I think, class average. Just depends what Graceful Glamour wants to do. Obviously, she's much better on a bone-dry track, but soft five might be okay. Bombassini, I think, the value, perhaps in a tough race, given the stretching of Pacino. Good return in the Let's Alope. Just missed Pretty Brazen, Arcadia Queen, both since have run well in Group 1 races. Then she went back in a slowly run race last time. Only Sierra Sue had a quicker last 200 than her. I think she should have beaten Fasino this day last year. And got on top. Parity, a terrific return, best run in the race. Then gap between runs last time. Couldn't quite reel in Sovereign Award, but has a 5 kilo swing today. I think she'll beat her home. My Pendants hasn't had any luck of late. Sovereign Award, Graceful Glamour in the mix. But as referenced, I'd be much more confident with the latter on a bone dry track. So 5, 10, 7, 3 for me.
All right, then. Warren, your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think Bonvicini's got a great chance. She stayed at 1,400 metres last start, and as Gator outlined, it wasn't a quickly run race, but she worked home well. She was unlucky in the fillies equivalent for three-year-olds of this race last year, and I think she's had a great preparation for it and fortunate enough to get out to the Valley and see some track work on Tuesday morning, and she worked beautifully there. I'm with her each way, 5 ahead of 3, Sovereign Award, who's just so consistent and importantly just seems to have really clicked with Jamie Carr. She can do a few things wrong during the run, but Jamie seemed to be getting on very well with her and she's racing well. 10, Paradis, stablemate, chased Sovereign Award home last start and probably a similar scenario from a map point of view here with Paradis settling behind Sovereign Award and Graceful Glamour should roll along and give a sight on the speed, but you wouldn't want a lot more rain during the course of the day. 5, 3, 10, 2.
And I think you're with Bonvicini as well here, Dino.
I am, Gareth. I'm strong on her on a day where there's not a lot of each-way play. She's around the each-way, and I thought she was tremendous first up and second up. It was just a slowly run race. The structure of the race didn't suit her at all. I think this race will set up a lot better for her with Graceful Glamour, Sovereign Award and co mentioned. Yeah, she can blend into the race, be strong, and I think she can win to beat Paradis, who's going well. Both runs have been solid and I think she'll run well. Sovereign Award having a great preparation. She's won 4 of 6. She's getting up in the weights, but she's there with a chance, and I Am Eloquent next best. But yeah, principally the Mar Eustace stable and the Danny O'Brien stable to the fore here, but I think Bonvicini will be very hard to beat. 5, 10, 3 and 11.
And Kieran was keen on Bonvicini as well this morning. She's at 5.50, Dino. You're happy still with that price?
Yes, more than happy with that. Yep. I think you can play her each way at those sort of odds, and she'll give you a great run for your money.
Happy day. So Dean Lester with the 5 from the 10, 3 and 11. Warren Huntley also with the 5 from the 3, 10 and 2. And Gator also with Bonvicini here, the 5 to defeat the 10, 7 and 3. The Vase is race number 6 for the 3-year-olds, and Quinny's scratchings are clear.
$2.90 when markets opened on Wednesday, firmed into $2.50 by Thursday, and it's done nothing but firm already. $2.25 into $2.20 today. Bets along the way include $15,000 at $2.40, and hopefully can get the job done today. And has been well backed as favourite for the VRC Derby through the week as a $4.60 market leader. Cherry Tortoni on the second line of betting here at $4.80. Quayquay is the second best back runner in the race and has trimmed up slightly from 6 into $5.50. Lunafox, $7.50. Captain Corelli, $11. Tanker, $18. Johnny Get Angry, $21. 41 or better the rest. It's all about the favourite here, number 6, Young Verda.
Are you with Young Verda here, Warren?
I am, Gareth. I think well documented he was unlucky last start. The track conditions is a little bit of an unknown for him. His two runs to date have been on good ground, but he was terrific winning on debut and then unlucky at 1,800 metres behind Quayquay. last start. I think with that run under the belt up to 2,000 metres, I think it's always been a plan to have him here and then hopefully on towards the Derby. And I think he can win today, 6 ahead of 3. Jerry Tortoni, who had a forgetful day heading to Randwick. Maybe it wasn't the right race, but then there was that interference at the 1,600 metre mark, and he was a bit of a victim of that too, and really just had a bad day getting put off his game on at least a couple of occasions throughout the run. So forgiving that, he can run well here. 2, Luna Fox. So I thought in a solidly run, Guineas was closing off well and should appreciate the rise in distance here. And Quay Quay was able to defeat Young Werder last start, albeit with probably more favours in the run. Young Werder getting the winkers on here today, but I thought he was certainly worth considering. But I do think that Young Werder's clearly the one to beat, 6-3-2-1.
Your tip in the Vase, Dino?
Yeah, I'm with Young Werder. I think he'll be a solid Derby favourite come tonight, and this is a lovely race for him. His inexperience cost him last start when Damien Oliver went for him. He wanted to lay straight in under pressure, and I just think the gear change here, the winkers on, little subtle gear change just to tune him up getting towards the Derby. I think, he can win today and be a big chance next week. Cherry Tortoni, I think, can bounce back off that run in Sydney. Was a very fast run race and he was off his game with a couple of incidents in the run. He can bounce back. Then Quay Quay, who's a terrific horse, and I like the wide draw for him. He seems to relish getting that little bit of galloping room. And Captain Corelli, who thought ran okay in the Guineas and the longer triple suit, 6-3-1-5.
All right, then. And are you with the favourite as well, Gator, here?
Yeah, I am. Obviously, he's just got much more scope, hasn't he, than Quay Quay. And yeah, I read it the same way. I think it was his inexperience that was costly there at Flemington. Koiko was holding him, though, right on the line. I think it was a really good win. And he was jumping in trip as well. So I don't think it's a moral that he turns that around. But given that scope, natural improvement, only career start number 2, wasn't it? So you'd have to lean that way, and the market's telling you that. Cherry Tortoni, well, either he didn't run the trip out, or there are other factors at play. If it's the former, he can't win this. If it's the latter, then he can. He's not really bred strongly, to be 2,000-plus sort of horse, but he always looked like that sort of horse, so I'm really confused about him. And Luna Fox does look like he wants the trip. He kept closing in the Guineas fast-run race last time. 6-1-3-2 for me.
All right, then. So the team keen on Young Werter there in the Vase. Dean Lester likes the 6 from the 3, 1, and 5. Warren also keen on the 6 from the 3, 2, and 1. And Gator with the 6 from the 1, 3, and 2. This is the Melbourne Form Panel brought to you by Lexus of Brighton. And don't forget to download the RSN 927 app to listen to the Spring Ticket from around 11:30 this morning. Leading the coverage is the great Dean Lester, Michael Felgate, myself, Dwayne Dunn, James Winks will also be on the Spring Ticket this afternoon to take you through Cox Plate Day. It's 8:34, time for a quick break, and then we'll come back and have a look at the final 4 races at Moonee Valley, including the 100th running of the WS Cox Plate. At the moment, it's a soft 5 at Moonee Valley. The rail's in the true, and hopefully the showers stop in the next hour or so, and that track rating stays a soft 5. This is the Melbourne Form Panel. You're with Gareth Hall, Dean Lester, David Gately, Warren Huntley and Nick Quinn. We're up to race number 7, which is the Crystal Mile over the 1,600 metres. A couple of scratchings here. The 4, Olmedo, comes out, and also the 7, Galaxy Raider, Quinny.
Yeah, we have a few deductions as a result, unfortunately. 13 cents in the dollar there with Olmedo and 3 cents in the dollar with Galaxy Raider. Been a pretty competitive betting race. Holmesman, the best back galloper at this stage, now a 380 market leader, but also supporting the last 24 hours for Chief Ironside, last year's winner, and Dr. Drill. Going down the market, we've got Holmesman, 380, Kingsville Dream, 460, Age of Chivalry, 480, Chief Ironside, 650 into $5 with those deductions along the way. Dr. Drill was as much as $9 earlier on in the week, now a $6.50 chance. Riddleby, that $9.50, and Streets of Avalon, the outside, with a small field at $17. But one of the more competitive betting races on the program, with the money spread between numbers 1, 2, 8, and 5.
Sam Friedman says Holmesman will be fit enough to run a race today in the Crystal Mile, and Chris Lee says Chief Ironside, it doesn't want it any wetter, Dino.
Yeah, I don't know about this race, Gareth. It's a tricky affair. I'm gone with Chief Ironside, but that is obviously a concern. I thought he ran well in the Toorak and obviously won this race last year, but I've got very little confidence here. I'll go with him to beat number six, Age of Chivalry, who's going well. He's over 400 days between wins, but he's running well. Holmesman and Kings Will Dream both ran in the Cox Plate this day last year, so in down a grade, they're well placed. Holmesman first up and Kings Will Dream coming off running in the lead-ups to the Cox Plate, maybe next best. But, yeah, I'll be putting Dr. Drill in the quaddie as well, and that'll be me in the first leg, 8, 6, 1, and 2.
Have you assessed the Crystal Mile Gator?
Well, on paper, Holmesman looks the most likely winner. And he's only been 2.5 lengths first up last time in a really hot, fast Group 1 at Wade for Age. That day, Jack Our Shark was a bit too strong for Very Elegant. The Fierce Impact, no match for them. It's a pretty elite form. His previous fresh run, he won a fee in here, and he won it easily. His last time, he was on soft ground, soft six, Caulfield Cup, beating a lip by Best Solution. Age of Chivalry, look, I gave him a life band a couple of runs ago. All of a sudden, we've opened the door again because his last run was terrific in the Toorak. Never on the track, it was still there swinging. You know, that can turn them around, that hard run. So he's back in the good books, but comes up to Wait for Age, and that scale suits Holmesman and Kings Will Dream a lot more. Kings Will Dream back to the mile, but we know the stable can do this. Forgive the Macquarie Diva miss. The wet track's okay for him. And Dr. Drill, next best, did a good job in that Cramming Cup with that hot spur with his big weight. But, 1.625 to me.
Warren, your confident levels here in the first leg of the quaddie.
I'm a bit like the others. I'm not really confident, Gareth, but gee, if ever I do anything that gets onto the wrong side of the law, I do want Gator on the judiciary. Gone from a life band to second selection in a Group 2 in not too long a time. So I do want him assessing my penalty. I'm going to go with 6 Age of Chivalry. I didn't give him a life band, but he hasn't won for a while. But gee, I think he's going well. And I thought he had one of the tougher runs at Caulfield in the Toorak, and under the circumstances ran really well. Maps for a much better run here. He's a winner on soft ground. In an even race, I think he's got as good a chance as anything. Holmesman's got a great fresh record. Interestingly, as an older horse coming to this race without a jump out, but if he's ready to go, he could be competitive. Chief Ironside ran well in the Toorak also, same form line as Age of Chivalry. He was only second up. He'd be fitter with that run under the belt and Kings Will Dream. Just my little niggle is he might be looking for a little bit further, but he's only had the one run at 2,000 metres and coming back here and certainly dropping in grade. 6.182.
So in the Crystal Mile, Dino's with the 8, Chief Ironside over the 6, 1, and 2. Warren's with Age of Chivalry here, the 6 over the 1, 8, and 2. And Gator is with Holmesman, first up the favourite, the 1 over the 6, 2, and 5. Race number 8 on the program is the Group 2 Moonee Valley Gold Cup. You can scratch here the 13 Supergirl Quinny.
That's exactly right, Gareth. And it's been an interesting betting race. Shared Ambition has been relatively solid at the top of the market. $3.70 out to $4, 4 into $3.90 back to 4 on a couple of occasions. The best back runner is the second elect Sound, $7 into $5.50. Still slightly better than each way odds available at $2.10 the place for those that want to stick with Sound each way. Hush Rider, $7.50, has been soft out from an opening quote of $5.50. Delino, $8. Holly Gray's been a firmer, $15 into $9.50 through the week, $9.50 into $8 today. Then we have Ocean X, $9. Gallic Chieftain, $14. Trap for Fools, $26 into $19. Miami Bound, $21. Etta James, $26, as is Lavendi and also Carriff. Good betting race. The favourite just pushed out slightly, Shared Ambition, with money coming for Sound and Polly Gray.
All right, then, Gator, who wins the cup?
Look, I think it's a great race for Shared Ambition. He's had to sustain quite long runs, his last couple. Very good at Randwick doing that. Jumped in Trip Flemington and was asked to make a run, 900 or so from home. He kept closing with 58.5. I think to save him for one run, maybe 500 from the line. I've never been a jockey. Maybe that's the key. He gets a bit of weight relief, handles the jar out of the track. Look, I was giving him some hope of running well, in a Caulfield Cup, so he can certainly win a Moonee Valley Cup. So he's a clear top pick in the race for me. Looking at dangers, well, Sound obviously beat him home
there. Ocean X has been to a staying trip twice. She's won them both. One of those, she beat Supergirl. And Gallic Chieftain's been finding the line well, beat home the Caulfield, subsequent Caulfield Cup place, get her last time. So 4-8-1 and 9 Carafe I'm giving hope to as well. So 4-8-1-9, mate.
I did enjoy that. A bit of advice for J-Mac there with Shared Ambition Gator.
James and I,
yep. Yeah. Hey, Warren, you talked me into Ocean X on Tuesday morning after watching that mare work at Moonee Valley.
She's in the mix for sure, and I think the fact that she's got that spot secured in the Melbourne Cup, she can just have a campaign that's aimed at getting her first Tuesday in November at Flemington in the best possible shape. And I think leading the Turnbull, certainly not the way she's going to run to her best. So I think back here with probably Hush Rider, Trap for Fools, setting a reasonable tempo. This race sets up a lot better for her, but I also think it sets up well for Shared Ambition under those circumstances with the blinkers off. Last time was the first time he'd been beaten in Melbourne. I think he's nice and fit now, had the run in the distance range. Got a leaning to Shared Ambition, but if I'm considering him, you have to give Sound a chance. I think Soft Ground is just right in the favoured conditions for Sound. He's going really well. He maps for a nice run. Ocean X, I think she's just about ready to strike. And as I said, the preparation can just be working backwards from a Melbourne Cup with her rating. She doesn't have to, like other horses with that rating, secure a spot. She knows she's there on the Melbourne Cup day, and I think she's going well. I loved her work here, as you referenced on Tuesday morning. Gareth and one Gallic Chieftain. He's up there in the weights and he's not a big horse, but the race should set up well for him to at least be closing off 4-7-8-1.
And Dino Trap for Fools will set a solid pace, you would imagine, this afternoon for your speed maps.
Oh, I think he will, Gareth. He dropped 7 kilos on that last run. I think they'll be using that to his advantage. And I don't think Hush Rider will die wondering either. And he's certainly there with some hope as well. I really like Sound. I know he hasn't won in Australia. He's going really well. And in other years, he's already been qualified for the Melbourne Cup, and I often think that can be a little bit, you know, not so much make the trainers casual, but they know that they're there, so they don't have to push them along. But this year, he's not qualified, and he's going really well. I think he can win. I think the danger's Shared Ambition. I'm trusting that form line. I think Trap for Fools with the 7 kilo weight drop placed in this race 2 years ago. I think he's going well again, and Ocean X certainly getting fitter, and her record beyond 2,000 metres is hard to fault, so we can't. She's 2 from 2. 7, 4, 5 and 8.
Okay, so in the Gold Cup, Dino with the 7 Sound over the 4, 5 and 8. Warren Huntley likes Shared Ambition, the 4 from the 7, 8 and 1. And Gator also with Shared Ambition, the 4 from the 1, 8 and 9. Race 9 is the 100th running of the WS Cox Plate. You can scratch the 8 magic wand. And what is the market doing for this great race, Quinny?
There's been a swing back towards the favourite, Russian Camelot. Got on to $4.60 on Thursday. Has subsequently been $4.60 into $4. One bet of 10,000 at 3... beg your pardon. One bet of 10,000 at 4.50 on Thursday. And he does now look like jumping the clear favourite. Arcadia Queen was closing the gap, but with the rain coming, Arcadia Queen has gone from 5 out to 7. Now the equal second elite with Armory at that quote. Probabil continues to firm as much as $15 earlier on in the week. Got as short as 7.50 back to 8. The Dragonate an $11 chance. Espitar at 14. Colding 17 into 15. Humanoid continues to firm, 26 into 19 throughout the week and already 19 into 15 this morning. Megatu 21, Grand Slam 26 into 23, Fierce Impact 31, Buckhurst 31, Master of Wine 41, and Natoya, the outsider of the field, has trimmed up from 100 to 1 into 71 this morning. But the betting story has been the swing back towards Russian Camelot. Now, it does look like jumping a clear favourite, and Arcadia Queen may be a couple of question marks, according to punters, with a bit of rain about.
All right, what we know, James McDonald doesn't want it too wet for Colding. Matty Smith says Fierce Impact will love the 2,000 metres. Wayne Hawke's happy with Master of Wine. Aspitar, David James representing Roger Charlton this morning, says his horse is ready to go, and the rain is a big plus for him. Sir Dragonet's in good form, along with Grand Slam for Kieran Maher. So it promises to be a great race, Warren. What about your speed map in this year's Cox Plate?
Well, I think they'll ride Grand Slam in a similar manner to the way he rolled along at a good speed in the Caulfield Guineas, and Kieran Maher's on record as saying as much. He's got the lightweight, and that's the way that three-year-olds have made the best of their opportunities in the Cox Plate, and he probably gets a little bit less pressure with Magic Wand coming out as a scratching. So I think the tempo's certainly set by Grand Slam, and then I think it's a little bit even behind them at that distance range. Maybe Colding can roll across and look for a spot not too far off the speed. I think it's a little bit debatable where Armory's going to get, but capable of holding a spot not too far away from Grand Slam. But for me, Grand Slam's going to control the tempo. And look, I'm with Arcadia Queen. I know her form card suggests that limited exposure to rain-affected ground's not ideal, but she still had the barred plates on and was on inferior ground at Caulfield last start when we saw her on soft ground two starts ago, and then she's got onto firmer ground and had the better of Russian Camelot. Just looking back through an early trial in Sydney, I know trial tempo is different, but she trialled nicely on rain-affected ground at Canterbury, so I'm not as negative as some on her on rain-affected ground, and particularly now that the rain looks like it's passing. 9 for me ahead of 11. Russian Camelot, effectively been with him all the way. He could certainly win. He's been aimed at this race. He's got a bit of ground to make up on Arcadia Queen, who beat him at face value, but there's going to be more pressure here with Grand Slam rolling along on the speed. 12 Armory, he's a serious horse. Some of his performances overseas have been terrific, particularly a couple of starts ago where he overcame some traffic issues and dived through late to win. I think that's definitely the hallmark of a horse that's capable of measuring up here, and he's competed against top level over there. And I thought Grand Slam, because he's going to roll along on the speed, I'm considering a chance. He's got the profile. I know he's not as highly rated as some of the three-year-olds, but I think he's got the profile to give a sight right in the speed, and I'm including him in my top four. 9, 11, 12, 14.
Dino, in that interview I did with Tom Magnier, I like the way that he had a chat about Ryan Moore, and when Ryan Moore got off Armory in that Irish Stakes, saying that this is the horse for you for the Cox Plate.
Yeah, well, it's a good push, isn't it? He's won a Cox Plate, and I would say he's got equal, I think probably better credentials than Adelaide and right up there with Highland Reel. So he's certainly credentialed. He's come up with a great draw. He's got a good racing style about him. Now I'm pretty keen on him, and the track not being too soft, I think, is a bonus. I like him, number 12, Armory, to beat 11, Russian Camelot. I think there's a lot of pluses about the wide draw. I think one is that he goes in late. He begins. Be interesting to see. I think the first 100 metres where Damien Oliver goes forward or back. I think closer to peak fitness, I wouldn't be surprised if they took their chances. 14 Grand Slam, I think, will run a terrific race. He'd been just improving with every run, and he was a good long shot chance in the Guineas, and he ran accordingly, and I think he'll do much the same here. I just think very progressive. And Arcadia Queen, my little query is the ground, but she's got terrific form and improving with every run this time in, and with the bar plates having come off and her form developing, she's right in the mix. But I'm 12, 11, 14 and 9, Gareth.
And your thoughts, Gator and the Cox Plate?
Yeah, look, I think I'm assuming they're all here, at their peak. And if they are, Arcadia Queen has the best peak. Obviously, it was great to see her back to her best last time. Slowly run race didn't necessarily suit her. Yet she was able to run straight by the Spruik horse, Russian Camelot, pretty soft, the last 50 metres as well. Jar out of the track. Look, it's still an unknown, as referenced. But it's gambling, so I'm happy to take the odds to that. Armory, the Northern Hemisphere three-year-old, obviously been home sass last time, the subsequent ARC winner. It was a fast run race, so you have to trust the form, even though this horse was 60-1, $66 in fact. Russian Camelot, wet track tick, drawn out, maybe a big tick by now. If that's the case, he's right in the game. No surprise money's come there. And Aspitar beat a couple of group winners last time by an aggregate of, they came out and won by an aggregate of 10 lengths. Again, I have to sort of like that form as well. I am throwing in the three-year-old in the quaddie as well, Grand Slam. 9, 12, 11, 6.
Okay, so in the Cox Plate, Dean Lester is with Armory, the 12, to defeat the 11, 14 and 9. Warren Huntley's with the mare from WA, Arcadia Queen, to defeat the 11, 12 and 14. And Gator also with Arcadia Queen, the 9, to defeat the 12, 11 and 8. Let's have a look at race number 10, the final event on the card, Scratch the Fire at Written Beauty. And this is an open market here, Quinny.
Yes, Written Beauty, God bless her. Cotton Socks got the job done for favoured backers last night, but as a result of her coming out, we basically have a new market this morning. And since that point in time, La Mexicana has been the firmer. 360 into 330 does look like jumping a clear favourite in the last. Minhaj now a 440 second elect. Maha at 5. Highly Discreet has been popular throughout the course of the week. Now it's 7. Melbourne Storm, 15. Raisin Dietri at 15, as Twain's Express has been specced this morning, 26 into 16. Wego Bam, 23. Stella Pauline, 26. Pretty Rose at 41, as is Cool as Delight. And Joey's Gift, the outsider of the field there at $51. Throughout the week, there had been each-way support for the four Highly Discreet. Now the fourth elect at that quote, but the best back this morning, clearly the favourite, number 8, La Mexicana.
Who wins the last, Dino?
I think there's four main chances, Gareth. I'm going with Maha, but I think she's improved that first up run to second up run. She was only on a fairly quick back up there. She had a bit longer time to prepare for this, to beat 8 La Mexicana, soft ground suits. She's promising filly, Highly Discreet. I think the messy nature of that race, the Thoroughbred Club Stakes, when there's interference at the start, took the speed out of the race, and she didn't adapt to it at all. She could improve here, and certainly Minhaj with the blinkers on, but I think any one of those four could win. 3, 8, 4, and 1.
Gator, your thoughts here?
Yeah, look, I think the four of these will come home in the quaddie for me. They are Maha and Minhaj, who came through that really fast race at Flemington. I have to trust that race. Minhaj has proven on soft ground. She was a brilliant winner one day on soft. Highly Discreet forgive the last run. La Mexicana looked sharp, winning the other day. It's a merit on the clock there. The scratching of Written Beauty means, you know, she might get the easy lead. So they're all in. 3, 1, 4, 8.
And who's winning the Crockett Stakes, Warren?
Honed in on the same four horses here. Maha's a big girl. I think she'd benefit from the two runs that she's had, and I like the little gap going into this, and great to see Luke Curry back winning last night on Hay Duck on a board here on Maha. 3 for me. Ahead of 4, Highly Discreet, who's been chasing Swats That and running good late sectionals doing it. The pattern of the day could suit her by this stage, but will need some luck from an inside draw. 1, Minhaj gets the blinkers on, 3rd up, and 8, La Mexicana through inferior form lines, but looks to be progressive and won really well last start, benchmark 64 grade, 3, 4, 1, 8.
So the team keen on the 3, Maha. So Dean likes the 3 from the 8, 4 and 1. Warren's with the 3 from the 4, 1 and 8, and Gator also with the 3 and the Crockett to defeat the 1, 4 and 8. Time for a quick break, and we'll come back with the team's best bet and also their quaddies on Cox Plate Day. Okay, Dano, your best bets on Cox Plate Day and also a quaddie.
My best is Young Verda, race 6, number 6. The best around the each way is race 5. Number 5, Bon Vicini. For the quaddie, first leg, 1, 2, 5, 6, 8. Second leg, 2, 4, 5, 7 and 8. Third leg, 7, 9, 11, 12, 14. Come home on 1, 3, 4 and 8.
Good on you, Dino. Enjoy Cox Plate Day, mate.
Terrific. Thank you, Gareth.
There's Dean Lester, David Gately. Your best bets and also a quaddie, please.
Best bets. Ecumenical for me. Best 4x2. Sydney race 3, number 1. Destination, our best. Quaddy Holmes, Manager, Shiver, Kings Will Dream, Dr. Drill, our 1625. Second leg, Minnie Valley Gold Card, The Shared Ambition, Ocean X, Gallic Chieftain, Carriff and Sound, our 4, 8, 1, 9 and 7. WS Cox Plate, 9, Arcadia Queen, 12, Armory, 11, Russian Camelot, 6, Aspartar, 14, Grand Slam. Those numbers again, 9, 12, 11, 6, 14. And coming home with just 3, 1, 4, and 8, our Maha, Minhaj, Highly Discreet, La Mexicana, 3, 1, 4, 8.
Let's hope you can get back-to-back quaddies, Gator. Well done last week. Enjoy your day. And Warren Huntley, your best bet and also your quaddy on Cox Plate Day.
Young Verda, for me, the best. Race 6, number 6. And Bon Vicini, probably the best of the ones at an each way quote. Race 5, number 6, the value. Quaddy 1, 2, 6 and 8. Second leg numbers 1, 4, 7 and 8. 9, 11, 12 and 14 in the Cox Plate, the third leg. And home with numbers 1, 3, 4 and 8.
Good luck, Warren. Enjoy Cox Plate Day.
Thanks, Gareth.
And Nicholas Quinn, your best bet. You've got the quaddie. I mean, you've got the Punters Club $100 this afternoon. And what's been the best back galloper on Cox Plate Day?
Young Werther, race 6, number 6, and that's the way we're going to go for the punters. So I've got $100 of your money to spend, a nice crisp green note. We're going to have $50 to win, race 6, number 6. We're going to have $10 each way, race 8, number 7, Sound. And we could not go through without having a bet on the feature race, the Cox Plate. So we'll do it this way. Have $20 to win on number 11, Russian Camelot. And a cheeky 5 each way on number 14, Grand Slam. Just in case the three-year-old with the lightweight skips ahead and leads all the way. It's going to be a great day. Hope everyone enjoys their Cox Plate / Grand Final day, Gareth.
Good on you, Quinny. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth.
And just recapping the quaddie numbers, Dean. Leicester, first leg, 1, 2, 5, 6 and 8. Second leg, 2, 4, 5, 7 and 8. Third leg, 7, 9, 11, 12 and 14. And the final leg, 1, 3, 4 and 8. Gator, first leg, 1, 6, 2 and 5. Second leg, 4, 8, 1, 9 and 7. Third leg, 9, 12, 11, 16, 14. And third leg, 3, 1, 4, and 8. And Warren Huntley likes 1, 2, 6, and 8 first leg, 1, 4, 7, and 8 second leg. Third leg, 9, 11, 12, and 14. And in the final leg, 1, 3, 4, and 8. And that is the Melbourne Form Panel on Cox Plate Day. Thanks to Lexus of Brighton. Time for the news with Johnny Bowden. And then, of course, it is Form Talk straight after that.